Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This is the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Unto the angel of the church at Thyatira, write this, and to the messenger, to the pastor. He needs to know this. Which the pastor would then share this letter that John writes to the church. Are you following? That's what he wanted to do, write to the pastor, and then the pastor would share to the church this letter. Right. These things saith the Son of God. Before I go any farther, I want you to understand Jesus is speaking and he is now describing himself. Unlike any other place you find in the book of the Revelation, or even I looked this morning about how many times it mentions the Son of God, the Son of God. Do you know there's very few times where Jesus describes himself as the Son of God? He does in the book of John, some other things that he, matter of fact, John 3:18, he that believeth not, he talks about there being the Son of God. Some other places in John, Jesus said, I'm the Son of God, and unless you believe that I'm the Son of God. But most of the time, other people attribute it to him, the Son of God. Let me give you a couple of examples. Remember the demons who were about being cast into the swine who was going to be cast into the lake, the sea and they said, what do we have to do with thee, thou Son of God? We adjure thee not. Matter of fact, they were cast, and that's let me move on. And remember the soldier there, truly, Jesus' crucifixion, truly, this must be the Son of God. Other times, I go on and on. It was other people who attributed that attribute to Jesus as the Son of God. I said all that to say this. Jesus loved that term, Son of Man. He used that term more than any other term to describe himself. But here, he, to the church at Thyatira, he called himself the Son of God. It's not found anywhere else in the book of the Revelation, but right here. Why did he do that? And not to the church at Ephesus, and not to the church at Laodicea or wherever, but why to this church? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's interesting. You ever heard one of the gods of the day was the god Apollo? You ever heard of the Greek god Apollo? He was the sun god, the S-O-N that they would worship. The S-O-N, and he had a very big impact in that area. If what Jesus, or the S-U-N, Jesus was saying, well, while Apollo, because they knew what he was saying, while Apollo is the S-U-N God, I am the S-O-N. Literally, he's attributed himself the deity, that I am God, the very God, and time won't allow me to go into that, but God, Jesus himself is calling himself not just the Son of God, but God himself. Because if you go a little farther back in the book of John, the Pharisees were going to stone him for that exact same, when they said that you say you're the Son of God, that's blasphemy. And they were going to stone him. Well, Jesus here said, I'm the Son of God, and that speaks volumes. He's God himself. And then it looks how he describes himself. When Jesus says, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire? Again, we think of, he describes himself, I have eyes as a flame of fire. What is he talking about? Well, it's these eyes we think about. Let me just read this. And I told you I got an hour and a half here and I'm trying to get it all done. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Verse number 13, we're all going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ as believers. And Paul is writing about that time where we're going to stand as believers before Jesus Christ at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. And Paul writes these words in verse number 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, verse number 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, may be made known, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and that the fire shall try every man's work of what short sort it is. And that's another study for another day. But Jesus compares himself here to the church at Thyatira. I have eyes of fire. In other words, he has that the eyes of judgment. He's looking upon this church and other churches, and he says, I know your works. He knows not just what you're doing. He knows why you're doing it. And we're going to look at that in just a minute. I know what's going on. I have eyes of fire. And then he says, and my feet are like fine brass. And we know that fine brass back in the day was the purest and the strongest of any metal known to man at that day. So it talked about not just Jesus, not just talked about his deity, not just talked about his deity and his judgmental, how he's a judge, but yet it speaks of, I just lost my train of thought. I'm hurting down here in the back. That's why I can't preach this morning. I start hurting again. Kyle, you can take all this out on my radio broadcast. Pardon me. Right. His leader feet are like fine brass. It's talking about his strength. He's omnipotent. The omniscience, omnipotent of God. Now, let me move on. Verse number 19. I know thy works, and thy charity, and thy service, and thy faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Now, it's interesting. Have it down here. I want to give you this outline, and we'll move on. He says, I know thy works. He says this to all the seven churches. First of all, he sees that they're a laboring church. When he says, I know your works, they're a laboring church. If you're taking notes, this is, you remember, there's an outline for every one of these seven churches. There's an approval of the church. Then there's the accusation of the church. Then there's the admonition to the church, how they can correct their problems or whatever it is. Well, this is the approval of the church. You're doing some good things, okay? As a matter of fact, that's good advice to all of us. When we go to want to try to help somebody, encourage somebody, start with building them up and say, hey, man, there's some great things going on in your life, and these are some good things. And then, but let's see if we can correct some problems. That's what Jesus did. In all these seven different letters, he started out with the good things when he says, you're a laboring church. In other words, they were ministering to others. Then he also said that the charity, they were a loving church. They were a laboring church. They were a loving church. Not only did they minister one to another, they cared one for another. And they were also a loyal church when he said that their service, I know thy works, thy charity, and your service. They were a loyal church. They were dependable and reliable on each other. Hey, this sounds like a great church, man. It sounds like a church I want to be part of. Kind of like the church at Ephesus. Man, they were growing and going, and that's what this church sounds like. You want to be a part. They were laboring, they were loving, they were loyal, and then they were long-suffering. When it says, I know your patience, the word patience means they could stand up under the pressures of the things that were happening in their lives of that day of the work. Because remember, they were guilds and unions, and it's difficult to make a living because of the pressures of Christianity of that time. But anyway, he says, I know your patience. They were a laboring church, a loving church, a loyal church, and a long-suffering church. It sure looked good on the outside. But look at verse number, and then look at this. In verse number 19, I don't want to leave this out. And the first to be more, the last to be more than the first. What does that mean? That means that what you're doing now is even more than when you began. So they're growing in their love and their labors. They're not backing up. It's growing and growing. Don't you want every church to be that way? Well, quickly, I wanted to contrast between Ephesus, who is the careless church, and Thyatira, who's the corrupted church. They both are doing some wonderful things on the outside that people would look in that. They were busy and laboring and loving, and they were growing. Well, Ephesus was... Remember the church when Jesus said, you've lost your first love. Thyatira, on the other hand, said, you've increased in love. What a contrast. Where in Ephesus, they were strong holding the doctrine. In other words, they wouldn't allow false teachers to come in their church, but they were lacking of love.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word, and visit us online at WestwoodMBC to hear more teaching like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.